Tick, tock, tick.
Oh.
Tock, tick, tock.
Is this a new Eurovision song, Martin?
It's actually an advert for a popular social media. No, I'm being a, I'm being a ticking clock.
Oh.
Because time is ticking down. And
that's what it does, Martin.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it goes up. But anyway, it's going down at the moment towards the Eurovision Song Contest. And a bit of a milestone, as they say, has been breached in the last little while. There is less than a month now to go until Eurovision. Tick.
Exciting. Don't you kind of feel it sort of crept up on us a little bit? And I don't know if that's just because we've had so much to talk about with it being in the UK. We just haven't had time to think. My goodness, it's nearly Eurovision.
It's nearly Eurovision. And we're going to talk about it in great detail here on this episode of Nolpois.
Nolpois is shameful.
Nolpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nolpois is no fun.
Yes, welcome once again. We're very, very close. Exciting times here on Nolpois, the UK Eurovision fan podcast. I'm Laura, that's Martin. We are actually going to be speaking to someone a little bit later on in the show who's co-written Germany's entry, Blood and Glitter. So we're going to speak to someone who's actually had a process in writing a Eurovision song. We needed him last year, Martin, when we were writing one.
Yeah, we did, because it didn't get off the ground in the way that we'd quite hoped.
It didn't, no. So, I mean, it just didn't get off the ground.
No, it didn't get off the ground. But, you know, we should maybe resurrect that at some point. But yeah, we're going to be chatting to Anthony Brown, who is one of the writers behind Germany's entry, Blood and Glitter by Lord of the Lost. And I will bring you, and we will bring you another chance to hear a little snippet of that song in a bit. But in a word, Cress, how would you describe that song?
Powerful.
Good word. Yeah. Mm. Powerful. Very nice.
And that was off the top of my head. We hadn't rehearsed that. No, Martin just threw that at me.
I did. I like throwing things at you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that interview coming up in just a little bit. But first, to some of the news, and we start not with the Eurovision Song Contest, but Junior Eurovision.
Yeah, and this is just a little snippet, really, a little bit of information that we now know where Junior Eurovision is going to be hosted. Now, we knew it was going to be in France, because France won. Again, last year. It's going to be in Nice. Have you ever been to Nice, Martin?
Have I ever been to Nice? No, I haven't. I just think
there's
about it for a moment.
That
I think
I've been
nice. Well, that's nice. There's so many jokes here, isn't there?
No.
Well, that's nice. No, it's Nice. No, I think I'm just saying it's quite nice. No, it said Nice.
Oh, stop.
That's how
help.
That's how it would go. I like it when they don't always put it in the capital city because it shows off other places. And from my understanding, Nice is nice because it's on the coast, isn't it? It's on the Mediterranean.
It's got the French Riviera, hasn't
lovely.
It? Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, the problem is they're going to there in November. So
I bet
it will
still
be
nice.
Quite as nice.
Or Nice.
Yeah. It will be Nice, but it might not be nice.
God.
But it might still be nice.
It'll be
Sunday,
nice.
Sunday the 26th.
Maybe.
Stop it!
But, okay.
Sunday the 26th of November it's going to be on, which is always the case with Junior Eurovision. There's always been a bit of a backlash sometimes at it being in the winter, especially recently, where a lot of people last year, a lot of the contestants caught COVID because of kind of winter situation where COVID's more prevalent, it seems to be. I get why they do it in that time, because having it at the same time of Eurovision would be kind of crazy. But maybe September might be nice. That's still a little bit...
September might be Nice.
Yes, September... it will be Nice. We know it will be Nice. I've just told you that. September, it will definitely be Nice, but will it be nice? Okay, we've got to stop this now. But yeah, there you go. 26th of November.
I've still got time for it.
No, Martin, come on. So there you go. That's just a little bit, if you were wondering where it's going to be, it's in Nice.
End. Okay. Yeah. So that's that. And good. Nice. That's done. Let's
stop.
Let's move on. Let's move on to something else. Before we bring on Anthony, our guest today on the podcast, let's talk about our kind of accidental favourite, really, when it comes to Eurovision Song Contest, the postcards. And yes, if you don't really know about Eurovision, you never, or you're only kind of vaguely watching it, you probably, what are you talking about? Postcards? What are you on about? These aren't real postcards made out of cardboard, which you don't see as much anymore, by the way. No. I've been on holiday a few times and I look for postcards because I think they're quite nice to send to people.
Yeah.
You don't see them. You don't see them anymore.
I think you do in the sort of touristy souvenir shops, but apart from...
I go to the touristy souvenir shops. Don't see the postcards.
Well, I'll have a look out the next time I go, but I'm pretty sure there are still some there. I don't think I get many anymore. I get one from my friend Mel, who just sends them, just says sort of absurd stuff on them. But apart from that, I don't really get
absurd
them.
Stuff. Maybe she's bringing down the reputation of
I don't think that's possible.
Maybe that's the whole thing. Anyway, we're talking about postcards, not in the conventional sense, but the Eurovision postcards are the little bit that you see just before the act performs. So often they've got lovely little plinky-plonky music, and sometimes you see people, they're having a little laugh somewhere at a bar.
It's where the commentators can kind of introduce the act as well, talk up a little bit about them, give you some information, whilst you're also watching, like you said, the film or the little mini vignette.
Oh, vignette is a great word. Yeah, so and very often they're themes. Sometimes they show landscapes, sometimes they show buildings, sometimes they show people. And this year we know what's going to happen. And bear in mind that there's obviously a lot of pressure to make sure that, yes, the UK is hosting it, but this is Ukraine's thing. This is Ukraine's win. So everything you're thinking, well, how are they going to incorporate Ukraine into what's going on? This time they're going to do three things within each postcard. So each one would have a theme. So for example, it could be like a historic site, and we'd see a historic site in the UK, we'd see a historic site in Ukraine, and we'd see a historic site in the country that is about to perform. So it could be...
Which is cool.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice idea. And the idea is that it's showing that people can be united by music, which is the whole theme of Eurovision this year. So it's like uniting different bits of culture in the UK, in Ukraine, and then in the country that is about to perform on stage.
Which I think is a nice idea. It works well with the theme. It does mean that they've had to have done a lot more work, I'm guessing, because all in all, there's 37 postcards this year, because there's 37 countries, and 111 different locations therefore featured. So yeah, a very well-travelled postcard setup this time. And you might be asking, what kind of themes are they connecting it? It can be just things like street art, it can be beaches, rivers. So it's not very sort of intricate themes, it's just kind of objects or places in the location. Some of the pictures they've released of the locations, and they're using quite interesting technology. They're using drone technology and 360 degree cameras to get some of these shots. So they're quite high up shots. And they're things like Stonehenge, which is in the UK. They've got a street in Ukraine. They've got Independence Monument in Kyiv in Ukraine. So obviously Ukraine featuring heavily, as it should do in these postcards.
It is wonderful to see, and a really creative idea, and a great way of combining those three different elements that they wanted to get across to show. It's just great. It fits in perfectly with the theme of being united by music. It showcases Ukraine. It also showcases the UK, and then it unites that third country, the one that's about to perform, which I always think, like, sometimes they don't make any nod towards the country that's actually about to perform on screen at all, which I think is a bit of a shame. So this does all three, and I think that'd be really, really nice. I approve. Good idea. You've got my vote.
Okay, there's no voting for that, but thanks, Martin. Yeah, I suppose normally what they do is they have the act, you know, and that's the part that's for the country coming up, and they're normally doing something in the country that's hosting it. That's kind of the typical thing, isn't it? And sometimes that can go a bit weird. So I think this has kept it, it's kind of simple, but then the technology they're using and the number of places they're going keep it more interesting. So yeah, I think this is a perfectly fine idea. Obviously, this will be in the semi-finals as well as the grand final. So we'll just have to see all the different places that they feature.
Now, we want to, on the podcast, talk about Germany's Eurovision entry now, which you described as powerful, Cress, I think.
I did, yeah.
Which is very good. It's called Blood and Glitter. It's by Lord of the Lost. And here's a reminder of how it sounds. Blood and glitter, sweet and bitter, we're so happy we
Well, the person who co-wrote that song isn't actually German. His name's Anthony Brown. He's from Sheffield, actually, and he's on the podcast. Anthony, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm not too bad.
How did you come to co-write the lyrics of a German entry then? Tell us more about that.
Well, I've been collaborating with German groups since about 2012. I had a friend called Marty. He's still called Marty.
is he still your friend?
blimey, yeah. That's a bit presumptuous of me. He was working for a German record label called Out of Line, and I happened to ask him, because he's a Berlin chap as well, I asked him if he might know of any groups on his label who might possibly be interested in working with an English lyricist, and he thought of Mr. Chris Harm straight away, who is the Lord of the Lost fulcrum, the front man. He put us together and we exchanged a few enjoyable emails where I had to send some general lyrics I'd done off for his consideration. That was about 2015 that happened, and yeah, we've been collaborating on stuff frequently ever since.
Blood and Glitter. Talk to me about how the lyrics came about and how you went about writing some of those lyrics.
It's a four-way collaboration betwixt the aforementioned Chris and Rupert and Pete Stoffers, who is in the band. Their previous albums that I've worked with them on have all had sort of specific unifying concepts, but for the album that ended up being called Blood and Glitter, they took a different approach, and there was the possibility of a Eurovision involvement. And so for a few of the songs, it was decided through Chris to consider how a Eurovision Lord of the Lost song would sound and think about even down to thinking of the staging of the performance of it and the potential dynamic within and the messages that would be inherent. But from the songwriting, it was a quite refreshingly different approach. And so it was viewed from that way. But the actual title, Blood and Glitter, was, again, Chris's inspiration. It's from a collection of photos taken by Mick Rock, who was a much revered photographer who worked a lot with David Bowie and Lou Reed. He did the cover for Lou Reed's Transformer. And yes, so that's where the title comes from. And I think within the lyrics, it also alludes to what I would see is the dichotomy between the struggle, the blood, and the allure of a sort of better life of freedom and self-expression, the glitter side.
That's very interesting. Now, see, I'll be thinking about that when I hear it being performed now. Now, you mentioned, obviously, you heard that there was some chance this could be going ahead for your vision. So did that kind of change your way of writing it, or did you put in certain things that you wouldn't have put in if it wasn't for your vision? I'm just interested to know if your vision changed the song at all.
I would say so to an extent, yes. I mean, I've written with other artists, other than Lord of the Lost, so it wasn't having to take a different approach in terms of songwriting, because I think in terms of the lyrics I've got quite a broad bit of experience. But if you go through the Lord of the Lost back catalogue, it is really quite broad in its lyrical scope. Naturally, some of the previous co-writes that we've had wouldn't really have been deemed suitable for the Eurovision stage.
No.
And what are your thoughts on Eurovision then?
I've been interested in it since I was a wee slip of a lad, because music has been my main obsession pretty much as soon as I hopped out of the womb. So I've always taken an interest in it, and I'm of an age to remember the Song for Europe shows back in a time where the Eurovision song would then be featured on Top of the Pops. So, yeah, I've just grown up with it, and it's always been there. And I've got a good friend, actually, who was a former UK representative called Lindsay Dracus.
Oh, right.
Okay. 2001, No Dream Impossible. She was just 16.
Oh, wow.
But blimey, she's quite the powerhouse performer.
So what
lovely
does it,
person as well.
I'm sure. Well, what does it feel like then if you've been watching Eurovision, you know, since you kind of knew what was going on, you've been watching Eurovision and you've had this passion for music your whole life. What does it feel like to have your work there on the Eurovision stage?
Well, it's divine. Yeah, it's something that I couldn't really have speculated upon when I first started writing for my own enjoyment. So it's a fantastic development. But Lord of the Lost are people who seem to make things happen. So accordingly, part of it seems almost strange and natural. Oh, of course they'll do that. And then a few months later, they're supporting Iron Maiden in UK arenas. So they're certainly versatile, bless them. I will be in attendance on the evening, and yes, there will be I would envisage a certain frisson of thrills and the odd goosebump emerging when they set foot stage. I'm fascinated to see them perform it as well, because I've seen them about a dozen times, and boy, do they deliver!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was good. I was going to ask you, are you going to be able to be there to watch it perform? So, will you be in Liverpool then? You're going to go and see it.
I will be there, yes. Whether I'll be walking the streets after the event, given the prices of accommodation, remains to be seen. But maybe I'll be able to stumble into some aftershow that lasts till 9 a.m. when my next available train.
You've got to say, I co-wrote these lyrics. Let me in.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
What do you feel the chances are then for Germany this year? Obviously, you've got a huge vested interest in the song. I don't know whether you've had a chance to hear some of the other participants this year, and I wonder where you think Germany might hope to do in amongst the others.
I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to hazard a prediction. I mean, I have ventured to investigate that historically Germany hasn't done that well in the past few years, frankly. I believe there is a fourth spot in about the past 10 years. But other than that, they've been around the 25th to 27th spot. So obviously it would take a rather significant shift in the European voting.
Well, things can only get better.
No, indeed. Well, potentially. Well, that said, that even that's tempting providence. But yeah, it'd take quite a seismic shift for it to be in the top section. But that said, it's a song unlike any other that Germany have proffered, so maybe that will be in its favour. But yeah, I mean, it's a massive privilege to have any involvement, and I think Eurovision, ESC in itself, does have that wonderful spirit of there have been so many different genres involved, and I think that the greater the expanse of different styles, the better.
And being from Sheffield, I need to ask you about the UK entry as well, of course. I don't know whether you're going to be, you know, sort of rooting for the UK alongside Germany in Liverpool, but what are your thoughts on May Muller's I Wrote a Song?
Yeah, I think it's very good. I like the lyrical conceit of it. I think it's a positive message, I think, and obviously the litany of things that the singer could have done in retaliation to this seemingly problematic other. But yes, instead I wrote a song. So they deemed to do something slightly more positive instead, which, yeah, I mean, simplistically, but imagine if everybody did that rather than take out their dissatisfaction instead write a song or a poem or some such.
You might be out of a job then, Anthony, if we all did that.
Well, okay, well, maybe I should be careful what I wish for.
Yeah.
Maybe they wouldn't be as good, though.
I think that's probably the case. It sounds like you know what you're doing. So, thank you so much, Anthony. Well, looking forward now to once we hear it again, we'll be like, oh, yes. We know the man who helped write some of the lyrics for that. So we're also going to be in Liverpool during the week. So hopefully spot you at some point. And good luck with it. Good luck.
Oh, thank you. And lovely to meet you.
All right, good stuff. This is Nol Poix, by the way, the Eurovision fan podcast. And as always, we like to include a little mention to our Patreoners, our Nol Pointers in the episode, because so many people, and it's really, really kind of you, have pledged a little bit of money, tiny bit of money, just a quid Thank a month you. Is all we ask, to keep this podcast going and allow us to do some stuff that we wouldn't normally be able to do with it. And thank you so much for that. It honestly means so, so much. And Cress has got the details of all the Patreon stuff that you need to know if you want to be a part of this.
Yes, thank you very much to everyone who does donate. It's patreon.com/nullpoints. You can donate 1 quid a month, and that just means that you get the episodes 24 hours earlier, at least 24 hours earlier, let's be honest, because we do record these things sometimes a lot more than 24 hours in advance and get them all edited. So sometimes you're going to get these quite early. You can also put in 3 quid if you're feeling very generous and want to support the podcast. You will also obviously get the episodes 24 hours early when you do that as well. And a little bit of extra love from us.
Yeah, a little bit of extra. But about £2 extra a month in terms
just,
of love.
Yeah, just the equivalent of that. So that's it. It's just patreon.com/nullpoir. We don't really ask for much else, but if you do fancy supporting us, that would be great.
It would. Thank you as well. If you don't have to get involved on Patreon if you don't want to. It's much appreciated, but you don't have to. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate you getting in touch as well with your correspondence, stuff that you've been thinking about the episode that you've heard, some of the Eurovision news, your thoughts on some of the entries. So many ways to say hello to us here at Null Poir as well.
Yeah, and I think it's worth saying that probably our next episode, we'll be thinking about this anyway, might be our ones to watch that we do, because obviously it will be 2 weeks to go then until Eurovision starts, so it'll probably be then, it might be the episode after, but either way we'd love to hear your ones to watch so we could talk about those as well next time. So if you want to send us those, and this is literally, it isn't just the ones that we think are going to win, it's the interesting ones, the unusual ones, and this can be semi-final and final, because we won't have the semi-finals by then, so we just want to hear the ones you think people need to know about before Eurovision week kicks off. So to tell us all about that, on Instagram we are Nullpoir Podcast on Instagram, on Gmail we're nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. we've also got Twitter, we're at Poir Null on that, because somebody else took Nullpoir. And I think that's it, isn't it? Have we got any other ways to cut? There are so many ways. I forget sometimes, but I think that's all of them, isn't it?
Yeah, you just find, you know, just find us,
just
really.
Just find us.
You can walk up to us in the street if you happen to see us knocking about.
No, don't do that.
You can walk up to me if you like. I'm fine.
Yeah, walk up to Martin.
You can walk up to me. I'm quite sort of tall and gangly. That's how you'll know what I look like. Right, thank you very much for that. I thought the episode was quite nice. Or was it nice? Yeah.
Oh no, get out! Out!
Right, see you again next time on Null Poir!